Amen. Job. What a place is that? Job chapter 7, verse 17. It says, "What is man that thou should magnify him, and that thou should set thine heart upon him?" Hallelujah. Verse 18 goes further, "And thou shouldst visit him every morning and try him every moment." This question, "What is man?" was asked twice under the Old Covenant. Now, when we say the Old Covenant, you know we're referring to the books, not necessarily the Revelation or the relationship, the books of the Old Testament. Now, just the book after, that's the book of Psalms, chapter number 8. He says, again, the same question. Now, this question comes in the midst of observation. That is the prophet this time, David, is saying, "O Lord our God, how excellent your name in all the earth." It points out the glory of the stars, the moons, and all the things God's created. And then he says, verse 4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" He says, "And the son of man that thou visit him." So he's asking the same question. What is man that you're mindful of him? Not the son of man that you visit him. Now that scripture comes up again in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 6. He says, "But in a certain place testify," saying it's quoting from the Psalm. So he says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit him?" He says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, not the son of man that you visit him?" Now, we studied last week and we discovered that the word man must always be qualified. Every time you read the word man, you must know, you should ask, "What man?" Come on. Are we together? So when you say man, you say, "What man are you referring to?" For instance, we have seen in our study that the man God referred to in Genesis chapter 1, 26, was not the man we saw in chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Because we always say, man. I would say, the man we saw in Genesis chapter 1 had dominion. The man we saw in Genesis chapter 1 was in the image of God and was in the likeness of God. But the man in Genesis chapter 2 was not in the image of God and was not in the likeness of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we say, the word man must be qualified. What man are you referring to? Now, in our study of the Bible, we discovered that you cannot interpret the Old Testament book or books without the New Testament books. Praise the Lord. I'm going to explain that to you in a moment. Again, and again, and again, and again. Hallelujah. Paul says, "For me to say the same thing to you, For you it is needful, for me it is not grievous. So if I say things over and over again, it's for you to have a clarity of thought. Now, when you say man, you must say, what man are you talking about? Because we found out last week that there's something called the first man, we have the second man, right? And we have the third man. Did I just say that? Well, the last man. Hallelujah. We also have the term one man. Remember that? Romans 5. One man, sin. One man, righteousness. And it can't be the same kind of man. One man. One man. And we also saw that, you know, when you have the word spiritual man, you have the word natural man. Praise the Lord. So you must always ask yourself, what man is he referring to there? What man are we talking about? Are you still there? Are you still there? For instance, you see, in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 24, you see a statement there that says, "For all flesh is grass as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass." Now, I've seen people quote this in burial ceremonies. But again, we always fall victim of reading scriptures out of context. When it says, "All flesh is grass as grass," which is in English language, that would be what? Metaphor, right? As grass, okay? He says, "And all the glory of man as a flower of grass." You know, Have you ever seen the flower of grass before? It's going to come and go. That's what it's saying. It says, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Now the question is, what man is he talking about here? Because the previous verse says, being born again. Hallelujah. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So he's saying, the man who is born again is not flesh. That is as grass, that withereth away, okay? Because the man who is born again, he says, lives forever. He has an incorruptible seed. The word seed there is the Greek word sperma, S-P-E-R-M-A, where you have the word sperm. That's life source. He says, you're born again, not corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, incorruptible life. What John calls eternal life. He says you have eternal life, which means you live forever. He says you abide forever. So he's telling you that the next statement, therefore, will not be talking to the man who is born again. Come on, let me see if you understand that. You must always read statements in context. So we have a man here whose life is like grass, okay, that withers away. But that's not every man. Praise the Lord. You must say, what man are we referring to? Now I'm going to back a bit and talk about, you know, how scriptures ought to be read. I've said this several times, that when you find the word holy scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:15, holy scriptures. Now there's a context where we can call everything in our hands holy scriptures. These are everything's holy scriptures, you know, for documentation's sake. And then you can say also, that just like we when we begin to study the Bible, we can call Genesis to Malachi Old Testament. But we both know, so we should know, that Genesis was not Old Covenant. Because the Old Covenant was when God took Israel out of Egypt. But by documentation, those books are called Old Covenant, but you need to study to discover what's Old Covenant, what's not Old Covenant. For instance, we know the Old Testament condemned people, alright? And we know the Old Testament, you know, was the law, alright? But we also know that there were people, according to Hebrews 11, from verse 1 to 40, who live by faith. And the law is not of faith. So as you study, you discover people, listen now, who were in the Old Covenant, as we call it, who lived in the New Covenant by faith. So it's all going to take study, all right? It's when you study that you will understand some of these very simple truths of God's Word. Now, just the same way, if you come into the four Gospels, you can call it the New Covenant. Why? Based on the documentation. But we know there was no covenant until Christ died, rose from the dead, went to heaven. Praise the Lord. And most importantly, gave His Spirit. Because the New Covenant is a covenant of the Spirit. So you will need to find things out more than just the peripheral face value application of the truth of God's Word. You will need to study much more. In the same way, if you call, now 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What's he talking about? 15, from a child, there was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. Now we all know that the word Holy Scriptures here refers to the Old Testament. Every time you read about scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, you are referring to the Old Testament. At least from the scriptures itself. Alright? You're referring to the Old Testament. Because when it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it was referring to the prophetic scriptures. The fact that the scriptures were spoken out by prophecy. I thought we'd gone through that before. Right? Come on guys, we've gone through that before? Okay. Because Peter says just the same thing. 1 Peter 1:10-12. Remember that? He says the prophets have inquired, who search diligently, okay? Prophets have the grace that should come unto you, testify of the sufferings of Christ. Remember that? And then the glory that should follow. That's what he's talking about. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. He says, but holy, prophecy came not the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about of old, okay? Of old. Now, Hebrews 1:1, he says, God was sundry times and in diverse manners spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Talking about the Old Testament, which is what we call the Holy Scriptures, spoke by the prophets. That is by inspiration, by the prophets. As in this last days, now says spoken in a son. He has spoken in a son. Pay good attention. Now, in a son is in Christ, right? Come on, church. In his son is in Christ. Okay, now, John 5:39, go back. John 5:39. Jesus. John 5:39. Jesus says, you search the scriptures. Or search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life. Jesus is talking. And he's talking to the Jews, the Pharisees. They are they which testify of me. They are they which testify of me. In other words, they are they which prophesy about me. They are they which are spoken about me. Alright. Now, you will find the Old Testament. Now, when Jesus was saying this, were the epistles written? Huh? No. Now, when Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. What was he talking about? The Old Testament. Good. Now, what are the epistles called? We say, the epistles are the New Testament. No. They are never called the New Testament. Now, go back to Romans 16. Romans 16. Romans 16:25 says, now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, Paul's talking here, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret before since the world began. Take note of that. He says in 26, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. See that? The scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Don't forget what all nations mean. All nations mean Jews and Gentiles. Just two. Good. Now, that said, okay, you will discover that Paul uses a different term when he's talking about the epistles. He uses a different term. He calls, now there are two words you will find so prominent in Paul's letters. He calls the Old Testament the Holy Scriptures mystery. How do we discover that? He will call it mystery. Now, mystery is not mysterious. Mysterious is we cannot explain it. We don't know why. Mystery is from the word mysterion in the Greek. It means hidden information. There is an information, but that information is hidden. And Paul calls, listen carefully, the entire Old Testament mystery. In other words, you will not find the meaning of things in the Old Testament in the Old Testament. Let me see how you got that. You won't find it. He calls it mystery. Now, he uses that word severally. Let me go back there. Now, before I go to Paul, let me talk about what Peter says. Peter says in 1 Peter, go back to 1 Peter. I quoted that earlier. Peter says, searching, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. He says, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Now, 12. Let's take 12 together. 1 Peter 1:10. Can we take 12 together? Let's go. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister. So hold on. That means the people in the Old Testament did not have the revelation of the things they were saying. Now, you know, if I'm saying something, if I prophesy, for instance, if the Holy Spirit comes on them now, and they say something, because they don't have the revelation, the next statement they probably will make about it will not be the understanding of what they said. Should I go back again? Let me say that. Now, if a prophet comes up now and says, he says, you know, you see Isaiah, Isaiah will say, all we like sheep have gone astray. Send every man to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He says all that. Then when he's done saying that, he doesn't understand what he just said. So he says, oh, you sinners, you will die in your sins. You know, it looks contradictory, right? Because he didn't have a revelation. But he spoke it out. And it is written, and it's holy. Do you get that? You know, all you like sheep gone astray. All we, he didn't say all, he said all we like sheep. Because he's part of those who went astray. But he comes under the law, and he says, you will die in your sins. Remember we studied the portion, you know, New Covenant, Old Covenant. How many were around then? New Covenant, Old Covenant. Still studying those things? Or you're done studying them? You'll be so blessed because I'm still studying them. And you go, he says, you will not say again, the fathers have eaten salt grapes and the children's seed set on edge. Hold up. Then he says, the soul that sinneth shall die. You know, it is contradiction. So the prophet just said something, but the prophet not understand what he said. And Jeremiah tried there. Jeremiah says, you will not have an occasion in Israel to say that thing again. Jeremiah 31. She says, fathers that eaten salt grapes, children still sit on the edge. A new covenant will I make with the house of Israel, the house of Judah in those days. And he says, their sins and iniquity I will remember no more. You would have thought Jeremiah would stop right there. And then he goes, you is a brood of vipers. You get that? Because he didn't have an understanding of what he just said, because it's a mystery. Praise the Lord. So Paul calls it a mystery. Peter said, they said things that they did not know. It wasn't revealed to them the things they prophesied about. So they spoke by inspiration, but they never spoke by revelation. Do you get that? They spoke by inspiration, but they never spoke by revelation. They were saying things that they did not understand. Now hold on. You know, Jesus once told the disciples, he says, if you know how many people desire to understand these things, he says it wasn't shown to them. And he said, oh. He said, unto you. Remember that? Mark's Gospel 4. It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Now, the mysteries refer to the Old Testament scripture. Hidden information. So Paul always used that term. Now go back in, see the sequence scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2. Are you following this? Paul says it like this. He says in 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. Let's take 7 together. Well, let's go. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Oh, come on. Let's take that. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Watch this. 8. Which none of the rulers of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Look at verse 9. Let's take verse 9 together. But as it is written, I has not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. See that? That love him. He prepared something. I didn't see it. He hadn't yet. Do you know it is a mouth did not say it? You don't understand with what you say. You understand with your heart and what you see. They said things their heart did not understand. Mouth said it. It's a musterion. It is spoken, but it is not understood. Still there? Are you still there? But what did it say? Verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them unto us by a spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him, so the things of God knoweth the man, but the spirit of God. Now it says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we know the things that the spirit gives us God, the things which all speak, in which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, combined spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of God. The natural man. He receives not. See that? The things of the Spirit of God. But he said, these things were hidden before the world to our glory, but they were spoken, but they were not revealed. Okay? Are you following this? Are you following this? Colossians 1:25. Notice Paul's words. Colossians 1:25. Before you go, no, Ephesians 3 first. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 says, how that by revelation, verse 3, he had made known unto me the mystery. The mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, the mystery of Christ, the hidden understanding of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophet by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Colossians 1. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the disposition of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to a saint. So again, he uses the word mystery. Mystery simply means hidden information. That which is written, but is not understood. You know, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, right? He said, you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. How? Is your name mentioned? You know, because it was hidden. But one time, it took his disciples, you know, it took them by surprise, and they were all musing, saying, why did they have to do that to Jesus? They were really angry that those guys had committed sin by killing Jesus, stuff like that. And he says, oh, you fools or slow of heart. Now at that point, he wasn't abusing them, he was describing them. It was oh ye fools. He knew they couldn't know. So he said, oh ye fools and slow of heart. To believe all that the prophet had what? But they didn't understand it. They just spoke it. How the prophet had spoken. Right? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I'm beginning from an other. Pounded unto them the things concerning himself. So, the Old Covenant scriptures, the Old Testament, is a mystery without the New Testament. Do you get that? So, the epistles, yeah, we can call them scriptures, but really, we should call them the revelation of scriptures. That is, everything that was written is now revealed, is now explained. Do you understand? Let me see how they're following me quickly. You got that clear? Everything that was written is now explained. Look at Romans 16 again. We were there earlier. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Praise the Lord. Are you there? To establish you according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, watch that, the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Since the world began. That's the book of Genesis, right? That from the book of Genesis, it was a mystery. John said, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, and there was darkness. And when the epistles say, the epistles tell us that God was telling Moses about salvation. God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has commanded, you know, no. He was talking about Genesis. We're talking about creation of the earth. No. He was talking about salvation. How come Moses did not know, but now you do? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. So, the epistles interpret the scriptures for you. You know, have you seen some books you have, I think it's a glossary? Is that what it's called? Glossary? Right? You have, the glossary is the words. They explain the words used. Huh? Okay. So the epistles are the glossary of the Bible. Hallelujah. He says, so but now it's made manifest. What is the word manifest? Thank you. Manifest. The way you use manifest most times today is for demons. You know, the Bible never used manifestation for demons. Ah, the guy was manifest. And it's really a human being who is dancing. They didn't see any spirit. And this is manifest. It's now made manifest by the scriptures of what? Of the prophets. According to the epistles are the manifestation of the scriptures of the prophets. The scriptures of the prophets now refer to what? Excuse me? Genesis to Malachi. Thank you. That's the scriptures of the prophets. So that means we will take all that God said. Now, God will speak through his prophets, right? We'll say all that God spoke through his prophets, we will now understand the details where? Where? In the epistles, particularly Paul's epistles. Praise the Lord. Particularly Paul's epistles. We will understand that, you know, last week I gave you a summary of how many times the word spirit was used in the Bible, and Paul had about 25% or so, right, of that word spirit. You know, Paul had more, used those words more. So go back to Genesis 1:26. It says, in the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image. And after likeness, so some words should stand out. As you study, see the word image and likeness. Now, image and likeness, listen carefully to this, must refer to your son. Excuse me? Is that clear? Image and likeness must refer to your son. Because the word likeness means likeness. It has to do with not just resemblance, but has to do with origin. Image. Likeness. Okay? And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. The fowl of the air. You fish of the sea, fowl of the air. That's just what Moses could write. Okay? Now, he says that, in John chapter 1 now says, in the beginning was the Word, right? He says the Word was with God. Go to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Wow. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Alright? He says, in Him was what? So I say life. So if you read the book of Genesis 2, when it says, God spoke about the tree of life, he says, in the beginning, in Him was life. You know, he isn't talking about after Adam fell. He said, in the beginning, in Him was life. And then the life was the light of man. In other words, Jesus, watch this clip carefully. Jesus, I'm going to use this term and I hope you understand. Jesus was given to mankind in the beginning. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him were, in the beginning, was life, and the life was the light of men. Notice, he's not talking about today. Because by the time he begins to speak, by the time you get to 13 and 14, he now tells you the word became flesh. So, the word became flesh in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In him was life at the beginning. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? But, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Now, when God speaks about the tree of life, we are a little bit confused because we want a tree, fruit, eat, die, leave. But back time you study closely the use of language in the Old Testament, you find the word tree refers to man's life and fruit refers to his words and his actions. Okay? So you say, in him was life. And so a tree represents a man's existence. In other words, God gave Adam, the Adam of Genesis 2, a choice of life and a choice of death. That's what happened. Man had always been created as a creation of choice. And also angels. One day I'm going to explain this to you. So the angels are zombies. They don't think. They don't do anything. That's not true. Angels have a will. They can think. Angels still can sin. We'll talk about that later. Not today. The angels are just... They're just like that. Why do they ask questions? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go on. You see, you angels, they're always correct. They're always correct. No, they are not always correct. They are in God. Amen. They're not always correct. Okay, let's go. So, the light was the light of man. The light of man. Okay, so in him was the light of man. Quickly, watch this. It says in Genesis 1:26, that let's make man in our image after our likeness. What God said to Moses. Okay? Let's make man in our image after our likeness. Let him have dominion. Now, go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Let me show you something quickly. So the word image of God, I think we've gone through that before, right? The word image of God will mean what? Son of God. Because he's talking about Christ. Right? Christ. Now look at Ephesians 1. I'll go back there again. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 says, according to verse 4, as he has chosen us where? Where? In him. In him. Now in who now? Christ. Right? When? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without him. No, without blame before him in love. Look at 5. Having predestined us unto what? Predestined will mean to predestine. Unto adoption. Adoption will mean to place as sons. So in Christ, in Genesis 1:26, God predestined the man of Genesis 2 to be adopted as a son. But what happened? The man in Genesis 2 chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is unbelief, disobedience, sin. Alright? So, God, it says God predestined. So, God, before man, chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and predestined him to place him as a son. Right? Right? That's the essence of Genesis 1:26. In our image, after our likeness. It's not that Adam now became the image of God, the likeness of God, then he ate the fruit, then he died. That would be absolute rubbish. Because the likeness of God will be to live forever. He will have eternal life. That's why in Genesis 3, it says, look, lest he eat of the tree of life and he will live forever. That word, lest he live forever, to you means, lest simply means so that he will eat of the tree of life. Every time from Genesis chapter 3 down to Revelation 22, God pointed man to the tree of life, to Jesus Christ. Amen. I thought that before. So that's why I'm going right again. So he says here that God predestined, okay, to be adopted as children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, Jesus Christ refers to man, right? Right? The second man or the last man? One man. So there's one man, Jesus Christ, in whom man was predestined to be adopted as God's children. Genesis 1:26. Now, are you following this? Are you following this? One man. We have one man, Genesis 2, one man, Genesis 1. Don't think they are the same. They are not the same. So, what about male and female? Yeah, male and female in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's male and female in Christ. You get my point? Hey, you're female? I'm in Christ? Thank you. Now go back again. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Quickly. I want to get out of this one. It says, Jesus now, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God. Have you discovered that Adam was never called the image of God? The only reference was Genesis 1:26. He was never called the image of God. In fact, when Adam, in Genesis 5, he says that God created man in the image of God, and it now tells you he began to begat children after his own image. So he got his own image. Alright? Now, here, the epistles tell us who the image of God is. Look at Colossians 1:15. Are you there? Let's go. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn. Right? That's the word image. The firstborn of every creature. We explained that. That's the prototype of every creature. So he is the firstborn. He is the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1. He says, God was sundry times in diverse manners in times past spoken to the fathers by the prophets, and in this last day spoken to us where? In his Son. Are you there? Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Let's look at verse 3 together. Let's go. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. See that? So who is the express image of his person? Who is the express image of his person? Come on. Who is the express image of his person? So the New Testament, the epistles refer to who as the image of God? Jesus, the Son of God. Not Adam. Still there? Are you still there? So, Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now, when did he foreknow? Foreknow. Before the world began. Where did he predestine? Conform to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So this is the predestined and foreknowledge are concepts of the grace of God, and also the concepts of deity. That is, before anything happened, this was my plan. Before anything happened, this was what I knew. So here is God. Before Adam ever came into the scene, Genesis chapter 2, God foreknew sonship. Right? That was what he foreknew. That was what he predestined. And he says to the image that Jesus will be what? The firstborn. Now, so Jesus is, watch this, the model of what God desired in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Jesus is the model. Jesus is not an afterthought. Jesus is not a rearrangement. No. Jesus is the plan of God. Jesus is the predestined choice of God. Genesis 2 is the choice of the first man. In Genesis 3. Genesis 1 is the choice of God. What he chose in him. Are you following this? And that's Jesus. Jesus is not an afterthought. He's not rearranged man. What happened is that man is, listen carefully now, man is the one recreated in him. Now, Jesus is not a recreation of man. When I say man, I'm talking about Adam, first Adam. Now. So, watch this, is important. When it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The Word, that's God, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Listen good. He says, it wasn't born, verse 13, John 1, it wasn't born of the will of the flesh. And then he says the Word became flesh. So again, you must qualify the word flesh. Because sometimes flesh will mean Adam, fallen Adam, or flesh could mean physical body, man. Flesh sometimes is just referred to man, or flesh could refer to the fallen man. So you must qualify. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And the word became flesh. See the use of words. So you mustn't use the word flesh. Was it? Is it? I don't know. I think, like, it must fit in every way the same way. No, you must qualify. Paul says, for instance, do not walk in the flesh. Alright? Do not walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit. Then he says, 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh. Hallelujah. So you must always use the word flesh in context. So in John 1:13, sorry, not born of the will of the flesh, or the will of man, not born of the flesh, is referring to Adam, first Adam. In John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's simply saying the word, God, became a man. He hasn't told us what kind of man by just saying he became flesh. He now says we beheld the only begotten of God. So that flesh is from God. That's what he's saying. So you must always qualify it when you read the word spirit, what spirit? Flesh, what flesh? Man, what man? Sometimes God, what God? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. For the evidence, God, the word man of God was used for every believer. Man of God, in the Old Testament, man of God was used for emoji, prophets. In the New Testament, man of God is used for man of God. That is an Adam of God. What is a man of God? This is what I call to say, man of God, you say, ah, no, sir. I'm a sinner. Say, man of God. Ah, no. I'm just a child of God. Illiterate. Man of God is not the same as man of God in the Old Testament. Man of God seems to say, man came from God. Hallelujah. Say, your neighbor say, you're a man of God. You guys say, no. I don't want that. I'm not called to the ministry. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So, Jesus is God, became a man. Watch this. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. You know, God, in Genesis 1, God. There was no Jesus in Genesis 1. So don't say, oh, there was Jesus before. Okay, so he was the Son of God. He now stayed with the Father, and they were all giving themselves. No, no, no. There was no Jesus in Genesis 1. Jesus in the four Gospels, God that became, is not man that became God that became God. Man that became God and became man. No. Watch this carefully. Jesus is what God was speaking about, listen carefully now, in Genesis 1. That's why it's called the firstborn. You know the word firstborn? It's not number one. Firstborn is what? So that means God came into humanity, okay, to show us the example of who we are. That's what Jesus is. God showing us the example of who we are at the new birth. You get that clearly? Okay, we'll go back there again. We'll go back there. Amen. I said amen. So God became flesh. Now, flesh will be what? Man. Now, we said last week that we say, what is that? Man is a spirit. That's not true. That's not in the Bible. Man is not a spirit. Man is man. Hallelujah. You need to discover man is a man. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. Lives in a body. Where do you get that from? The book of 3 Corinthians chapter 19 verse 14. Here is Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You know the funny thing? When people say man is a spirit, how so? They say, Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is kind of the Lord. Can you imagine the Old Testament? There's a spirit in man. This man has given understanding. Let's come to the epistles. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. What is it? Praise the Lord. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The word wholly means completely. Praise the Lord. How many of you have bought stuff before and they didn't give you everything? Give you an example. You bought a phone with no charger. Of course, you bought it in traffic. Stolen phone. There's no charger because they don't give you a manual. You have the charger. They want to help. You have the hairpiece and stuff like that. Then you can, you know, you can return it back to them because you paid for a phone. Alright? Why are you looking at me like that? Don't you have phones that have chargers? A phone, charges and stuff like that. The accessories, you return it, then they give you back because, see, this is not what I bought. It's not complete. Right? Now imagine if you bought the phone and then there's no battery inside and you have no, maybe all the stuff and then you say, this is the phone. It has no battery. It can't be a phone. It has to have all the things complete. So said, the God of peace sanctify you completely. Charger is there. Everything is there. It says your whole spirit. What else? Soul and body. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So man is what? Spirit, soul, and body. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Now, in understanding things, we can say that is man's spirit, that is man's soul, and that is man's body. But none of them individually can be man. For it to be man, it has to be what? Together. Is that clear? Is that clear? Let me see your hand. That's clear to you. Come on, let me see your hand. You follow me. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Look at Hebrews 10. Remember, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hebrews 10 gives us a description we must pay attention to. Hebrews 10. Talking about Jesus, that is God that became a man. When we say Jesus Christ, we're saying God that became a man, an example of who we are at the new birth. Don't forget that description I gave you. Wherefore, when he come into the world, verse 5, he said, a sacrifice and offering thou would not, but a body thou hast prepared me. A body thou hast prepared me. So here he is, it gives him a body. It gives him a body, Hebrews 10. It gives him a body. He's quoting from Psalm 40 verse 6. It gives him a body, Hebrews 10. It gives him a body. Why? Because without the body, you can't be called a man. Hallelujah. You follow me? Without that body, you cannot be called a man. So to be a man, you have to be spirit, soul, and body together. Now listen to what Jesus, you know. Now Jesus, don't forget, we said last week we must look at Jesus. Jesus now hung on the cross, listen carefully, then is resurrected, then he comes to his disciples and he makes a statement that we must pay attention to. Luke 23, I told you to do that last week. Can you remember? Can you remember? Luke 23. Luke 23. Luke 24, sorry. Luke 24. You know, here's Jesus, watch this now. He comes amongst his disciples. They didn't open, they actually shut the door. Shut the door, shut the door. And they shut the door, bolted the whole door, all the doors. And Jesus comes in. And they go. He said, Jesus comes in. Looking at them, and they go like this. You know. And he says, why are you afraid? So why are you troubled? He says, behold my hands. Listen carefully. He says, behold my feet. It is I myself. See that? He said, look at me. It's my hands. I'm happy. It's I myself. He said, handle me and see. Handle me and see. You know, we say, man, you've not seen man before. That's not true. Jesus says, handle me and see. He says, for a spirit has not flesh and blood or bones. As you see me have. He showed them his hands and feet. It's okay. In case you think there's something else, say, give me food. And he ate. Right in their presence. He says, a spirit has not, watch this, flesh and bone. But man has a spirit. Right? He has flesh. He has bones. But a spirit has no flesh and bones. In other words, I am not only spirit. I'm a man. If I'm only spirit, then I'm not a man. For me to be a man, okay, I will be spirit. What else? Soul and body. Listen carefully. This was when Jesus was raised from the dead. One, two, pay attention. Remember, he told Mary, he says, I am going to my Father. So he goes to heaven. You know, when he went to heaven, his body was not on the earth. He went with his physical body. Oh, come on. And that physical body goes where? Come on. And then he comes, you know, we thought heaven is for dead people. Not true. Heaven is for man. God created heaven for man, not for God. Because God has been existing before heaven was created. And he said, okay, I don't like where I am. Where do I get a new house? A new house, a new house. Let me get that's when Jesus came, he said, all authority where? In heaven and earth. So Jesus is seated where? In heaven. As what? Man, right? Above all, praise, powers, and power, might, and dominion. So that means heaven was made for man. Praise the Lord. Should get that by now. So Jesus goes to heaven, and he's, you know, he said, "Oh, I said, wait, to Mary, said, don't touch me." He said, "Don't touch me." So why? I'm dead. John 20 says, he said, "Hold me no longer," because actually in the Greek she held onto him. Rabboni. He said, don't touch me any longer, for I go to my Father and your Father. She touched him. My God and your God. Now I'm coming back. And he goes, I go to my Father, your Father, my God. Take care of the brethren in the church. He says, I go to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Hold on, I'll be back soon. And he goes. She can't see him again. She just touched him. So he comes back. He comes to the cross. And he says, hey, he's coming from heaven. Hey! And he says, touch me. And then Thomas goes, oh. Muscles. Yeah, muscles. So give me food. Hey, food. Oh, say, spiritual food. Say now. So he eats the food. Then he said, oh, it's Jesus. Ah, it's Jesus. Don't forget, he went to heaven. He came back. And he says, 40 days he was with them. Right? Remember 40 days? You taught them the things of the kingdom. One day they were, you know, they were doing, and you know, he wasn't with them like inside them. So I said, Jesus is inside me. You know, Jesus is a man. He can't be inside you. Jesus is in me now. He's in me. He's in me. Jesus is in heaven. So he, what they do, were fishing, and he says, hey guys, cast your net to this side. He's the Lord. They knew him. That wasn't the first time he's going to walk on water. Done that before he died. He rose from the dead. So he lives in the earth for 4 days. Jesus. Normal. Man. But glorified body. That can do everything a man can do. And more. And then he says, I'm going. Alright? 4 days. He said, wait in Jerusalem to be endured power from on high. I'm going to send the promise of my Father to you. Then they saw him leave. Saw him leave. That wasn't the first time they see him leave. Mary saw him leave. Hallelujah. Are you there? Now let's get back a bit. Can we track back a bit? Are we on course? We're talking about man, right? And so, here's Jesus. He dies. Don't forget. When he died, what happened? His body was in a sepulcher. His soul, his spirit, went out of his body. Because Jesus said, unto your hands, remember that? I commit my spirit. Look at Luke 23. Luke 23. He said, unto your hands, I commit my spirit. Verse 46. And he gave up the ghost. The word gave up the ghost means, it's a term in Bible, you read consistently, means his spirit left his body. So, his spirit left his body and went to the place of the dead, which the translators have erroneously called hell. No one has been to hell yet. I think I've taught you that before. Good. He goes to what was referred to as Hades or hell, you know, and he stays in there for 3 days and three nights. Don't forget, his body is on earth. His spirit's gone to hell. What we call hell, Hades, the place of the dead. The third day, it comes back to where? You know, he should have come back and who's seen his body? Say, that's his body. I said, I know. You know, I died. So, I did. But it didn't appear to anybody until he went back first to his body. He will not be raised from the dead if he doesn't have his body. So it will not be man without his body. Hallelujah. If the physical body was not man, then Jesus' resurrection would not have incorporated the resurrection of his body. The physical body is man. The spirit is man. The soul is man. Do you get that? So he comes back and we see him fully glorified. Spirit, soul, and body. Again, Jesus' offering for man was spirit, soul, and body. So, he became a man, spirit, soul, and body. So, Jesus' body was physical. Right? Was it physical? Was it heavenly? Huh? You are saying two things. Was it physical? So it cannot be heavenly if it's physical. That's your mindset. It can't be heavenly if it's physical. I threw that in the spanner for you. If it's physical, it's not heavenly. If it's heavenly, it can't be. No. If it is man's body, it can be heavenly and physical. Because that is the body of man. Hallelujah. Go back again. The body of man is heavenly and physical. Let's go on. Where are we going to? We see now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you following this? Paul now says this. So, before we go further. So, man is man. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Is man man? So say. You can't see man. What kind of man? You have not seen me before. Anyway, you've not seen it before. Well, maybe you are talking about your identity. To understand your identity, but really, I can see you. This is you. Hallelujah. So when we come before God, God doesn't see us. He says, Jesus. I don't understand that. He says, you. Does he have a glasses called Jesus? Anybody that comes is Jesus. No, that's what I'm saying. When we mention the name of Jesus, it's alright, I see Jesus. So if I'm not born again, I say, I come in Jesus' name to come and kill the president of Nigeria. Alright, I can see Jesus. Ah. How does he see us and see Jesus? Because we are in him. Now in him will mean what? We are in the man. In Christ. We are the man. Or you are the man. In Christ. How? Spirit. Soul. And body. Remember that? Not that God sees you with spiritual eyes. Forget where you look. Okay. It's Jesus. Where's Jesus? Jesus, okay, for Jesus. We're going wrong. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's move forward a bit. Now, 1 Corinthians 2. Quickly. I'm going to rush now. Paul mentions the natural man and the spiritual man. Always know where and when he uses those terms. The natural man and the spiritual man. Now, he says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. In Romans chapter 8, he uses two terms, a different term. He uses the word flesh and spirit. He says you are not in the flesh, but you are where? In the spirit. And then he tells you what he means by flesh and spirit, always read it contextually. He says, the man who is in the flesh is the one who is after the things of the flesh. Okay? Is born of the flesh. That's what he means. He says he's the carnal mind, enmity towards God. It's not some of the law of God, neither can it be. It says, is in the flesh, it cannot please God. Look at 9. But you are not in the flesh. Now the word flesh there is not referring to the physical body, right? Referring to what? Nature. You are not in the flesh, but where? In the spirit. Why? If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. It is that the spirit of God dwells in your spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Because Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God dwells in your mortal bodies. Are you there? So it's not talking about the Spirit in your spirit. Not two spirits. So the word Spirit of God is not talking about the deity, the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the Spirit of God. Man's Spirit of God dwells in you. If any has not the spirit of who? Christ. He is none of his. And Christ is the union of humanity and deity. He is none of his. So at that material point, he's talking about the new man. Now the old man is called flesh. Adam. The new man is Adam, but it's called spirit in Romans 8. is not referring to conduct. It's referring to nature. Jesus puts it like this, John 3:3, except a man be born again. The word born again means born anew. Some verses say born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, except a man is born of water, that is new, that is the spirit, he cannot enter. It is matter that I say unto you that you must be born again. He says the spirit, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Notice that word. That is born of the spirit is what? Is what? Is what? Good. Now, if you are born of the Spirit of God, you will be what? You will be referred to as the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. Isn't it clear? That which is born of is. That which is born of flesh is. So, I'm flesh, but how can you call me Spirit of God? I prefer flesh. No. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus said that. So the word flesh and spirit is interchangeably also used for the two different kinds of man. The man called flesh. The man called spirit. What you are referring to, and he said, this spirit will be referring to the spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Go to Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. I quoted earlier. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken what? Your mortal bodies by a spirit that dwells in you. The word quicken is used in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. Now some translations don't have it because it's a controversial verse, usage of words in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. You have to quicken together in Ephesians 2 and 1. But he uses the same word in John 6:63. He says, John 6:63, Jesus uses the same words. He says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and are life. So he's referring to the life of God. He's referring to life. When he says quicken it there, he's referring to life. That is life to the dead. You use the word quicken when you're talking about life to the dead. So in Romans 8:11, it says life to the dead. Life to the dead. Now, this body, listen carefully, is called mortal. Why is it called mortal? It's called mortal because, listen very well, because of the origin. However, it says, because the spirit lives in you, this body will receive life. This body will receive life. That's the word quickening. This body will receive life because the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, lives in it. The Spirit of Christ lives in it, so the body will be quickened. Life will come to it. In 1 Peter 3:18, uses the same words, quickeneth. 1 Peter 3:18. He says, puts it like this, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, that the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Talking about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So, he says something quickly. He's telling you that the body, see carefully now, that the body of a man who is born again now has a new identity. It has a new identification because the Spirit of God dwells in there. Look at Romans 8. If you follow that thought as you go further, by that time I read everything, but let's just pick out relevant verses. In verse 18, it says, for I reckon, verse 18, Romans 8, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Look at the word. That shall be revealed not to us, but in us. Now, who or what do we have in us? Huh? How will the body receive life? God will shout from heaven by the that will dwell, that already, okay? So the life of this body is in it already. You get that? The life of this body is already in there. Now Paul is saying it shall be revealed in. Watch this. He says, for the earnest expectation. This is key. This is key. Don't get this wrong. Of the creature waits for what? What was manifestation? It means full disclosure. Now he's saying to you that the Son of God is spirit, soul, and body. It says because the creature is waiting for the full disclosure of the Son of God. How? Look at it. It says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now, corruption will refer to mortality, shall be delivered from corruption, into the glorious liberty of what? The children of God. We know that the whole creation groans and travels in pain together till now. But now, not they, but us ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. What is that adoption? Huh? So the adoption of what? Redemption of the body. Now, what is the word redemption? To buy back. Right? Redemption of the body. He's saying the manifestation of the sons of God will be when it shall be revealed that we are sons of God, spirit, soul, and body. So our body is incorporated in our sonship. He says it will be revealed. He didn't say it will be made. It will be revealed in us. Now why? 1 John 3, quickly. 1 John 3. So what Jesus did for us is what is what God did to him. What Jesus became, as God became as Jesus, is who we are. Spirit, soul, and body. Look at this. 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, this one, that we should be called the sons of God. Watch this. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Identification. Watch this now. Two, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Where? In the body. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. Now, chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. And you wonder, what he says is when he appears that we shall be like him. And yet he says, as he is, so are we in this world. So you need to understand, the appearance does not invalidate who you are now. You are a son of God, spirit, soul, and body. This body is saved. This body is saved. This body is saved. The body you carry today is an eternal part of you in Christ Jesus. It will never be destroyed. This body is saved. He says, it shall be changed. Watch this. Romans 12 and 1. Look at how Paul puts it. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies. You know, for a long time, I used to read this verse like this. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. until I saw the word as isn't there. So he was using a metaphor. He says present. And I said, what's the word present? The word present simply means to acknowledge what is something. If I, for instance, if I say, assuming the governor of Lagos State walks into this place, and I say, oh, we acknowledge the, and I call him, and I say, this is the governor of Lagos State. And I call his name. You know, by calling him the governor of Lagos State, I didn't make him the governor of Lagos State. I'm only presenting him. That's the word present. Acknowledge your body. So you can only acknowledge your body for what it is. So that means in Christ Jesus, your body is a living sacrifice. I'll tell you why I use that term. Your body also is holy. Say, my body is holy. So I must acknowledge it. Your body is holy and acceptable unto God. It says, when you are, when, now listen carefully, it says, your reasonable service. What is your reasonable service? Your reasonable service is when you present your body a living sacrifice. So worship to God is to acknowledge what He has done. I will acknowledge that my body is holy. I will acknowledge that my body is acceptable. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 15, it says, your members, your body is a member of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6 and 15. Read that last week, right? Your body is a member of Christ. Say, my body is a member of Christ. So when the Bible says, if any man in Christ is talking about the whole man, the whole man, spirit, soul, and body in Christ. He says, you will acknowledge your body. Acceptable. Your body is acceptable because you're a man in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 16, Paul talks about the outward man. So that means there's an outward man. There's an inward man. There's a first man. There's a second man. There's a last man. Always know the terms and know what he's referring to. Now we're going to learn this. I don't know whether this is as much later. Why can't the body of a man in Christ today function just like Jesus when he was raised from the dead? Well, we'll see that. Praise the Lord. Can it? Can it not? But I am aware that there was a brother by the name of Philip. Remember him? Remember Philip? Remember Philip in the Bible? Acts 8. Who was not found. He got transported just like Jesus. And he appeared to the Ethiopian Enoch. And just about it was done. He moved from there. Now he wasn't kidnapped by angels. He said, oh, where am I? You know, he had his body. The physical body moved from one place to another. Physical body. Philip. Seen that before in the Bible? Heard about it? You know, it didn't happen in the Old Testament. And also it didn't happen in the book of Revelation. It wasn't a vision. Was it a vision? It was a live stream. Hallelujah. It was a live stream. Alright, we saw that. So we're going to discover what happened to the body. Don't forget, that body is redeemed. We read last week, right? Your body is bought with a price, and the Spirit of God is in that body. Say, the Spirit of God is in my body. The Spirit of God is in my body. Now Paul says, you must reckon your body. Use that word twice. Say, reckon your body, Romans 6, dead to sin, alive unto God. He says that. Now he says in Romans 12:1, he says, reckon your body, living sacrifice. You say, my body is a living sacrifice. My body is holy. He says, my body is acceptable unto God. Use that word in three places. In verse 2, for the will of God. In Romans 14:18, for the service of God. In Ephesians 5:8, for the light of God. So that word acceptable is always used for what God does. What I did. What is acceptable to God is what God himself did. So that means my body is of God. at salvation, at receiving eternal life. My body is of God. If I am in Christ, my body is of God. This body is an instrument, listen carefully, an instrument of service. Yes, but this body also is a son of God. This body came from God. This body belongs to Jesus. This body is a member of Christ. This body is holy and acceptable unto God. One thing again. This body will live forever. Hallelujah. This body will live forever. As we study on, we're also going to see that, you know, that in Christ Jesus also, we have a new mind. Huh? Yeah, you do. You do. You've just not found it. Praise the Lord. Jesus gave us new thoughts. Amen. How come I have broken in my mind? We'll see why you do. Praise the Lord. He gave us new thoughts. At salvation and the new creation, there's a new creation of spirit, soul, and body, where? In Christ. Hallelujah. So, quit thinking. Man is a spirit. No, man is a spirit, soul, and body. You are the man in Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. Your body is holy. Your spirit is holy. Amen. We're going to find also that your mind is holy. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Your mind is holy. Your spirit is holy. And your body is also holy. You know, if I call my body holy, that means my body is a holy body. Right? My body is temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, if you call the temple of the Holy Ghost, this is holy. Nobody's going to curse you with anybody. Because holy. If you say, my body is holy, you're correct, right? Right? Why? Because God's in there. Amen. Spirit of God is in there. You say, my spirit is holy. Oh, yeah, yeah, by the ark of redemption. It's okay. So, this is a holy temple. Yes. But it's a holy spirit. No! Why? Because you think the term Holy Spirit must always refer to God. You are wrong. Hallelujah. The term Holy Spirit doesn't always refer to God. There are places in scripture where the term Holy Spirit refers to the sons of God. Should we find out? Should we find out? But not this service. Hallelujah. Are you thankful for Jesus? Spirit, soul, and body. You are in Christ. Amen. You are in the second Adam or the last Adam. Anyone? Praise God. As long as not the first one. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. So you're a son of God. You're a son of God. Everything about you is a son of God. Praise the Lord. You are a son of God. What we call the rapture is not a magic wand of God. A trumpet will sound, bam! You know, every time Paul wrote about the rapture, he wrote about it in three places, four places. Only once did Paul make the rapture look like a disappearing act in the book of Thessalonians. And I discovered that was his first epistle. That was his first epistle. But when he wrote further, he explained it better. In Romans 8, he explained it better. In Philippians 3, he explained it better. On 1 Corinthians 15, he explains it better. He places the rapture, listen to me, as a right and privilege of the Son of God. Hallelujah. That's what he does. It's a right, I'll close here, and a privilege of a Son of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the man in Christ, amen. Is that his subject now? Are we getting the subject? The man in Christ is spirit, soul, and body. So your body is in Christ. See, my body is in Christ. See, my mind You don't want to. We'll find that out, right? Say, my mind is in Christ. Say, it's my mind. It's my mind. Your mind is in Christ. Hallelujah. And your spirit is in Christ. You are in Christ. Glory to God. Fully the Son of God. Amen. The fully the Son of God. The man in Christ is revealed in Jesus. You know, he said, touch me. Doesn't that amaze you? He said, touch me. The spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. And he touched him. Because before then, he went to heaven. Right? You know, he said, we'll go to heaven. I will stay there forever. But you know, Jesus went to heaven, came back and ate food. Praise the Lord. Was he hungry? We'll find out. Was he hungry? We'll find out. Praise God. But he was a man. Praise the Lord. So when he was raised from the dead, you didn't see his spirit. You see, Jesus has been raised. Yes, I saw him. But what is it? Forget that man is a spirit. Santi, I give God praise. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I'm in Christ. Glory to God. Lift your hands. Bless the Lord. Thank him. Come on. Thank him. 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 Thank him.